I believe you ought to give the Lord another clap offering of praise. Amen. I want you this morning to go with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter. I want to thank those that have been coming out on Wednesday nights for our study in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I believe it's one of the most enjoyable studies that we've had together. And I'm just trusting God to help us to go deeper into His Word. I want to thank God for our visitors this morning. New couple from Cleveland, Tennessee. And he's a Marine, so be praying for them, especially hard. Amen. And glad to have them with us today. I want you to go with me as we look to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. When you're there, say amen. It's a little bit easier than finding some of the other texts I've used lately, isn't it? Notice, if you would, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to use the thought this morning, Jason, hungry yet full. How many of you watch the news? Kind of scary when you look at it through man's eyes without God, isn't it? There's a concern in America, for the first time in the history of our nation, that we will hand down the children that we're raising a lower standard of living than we've ever seen in America. Now, whether that's true or not remains to be seen. But what is true is there's a desperate cry in America for some answers. There's a desperate cry going out for help. Different cries than we've ever heard, and in a manner that we've never heard before. Senior citizens, suicide rate at an all-time high. Adult rate at an all-time high. Teen rate at an all-time high. What is that telling me? We need to get God back in America again. There's a call going out, and myself and several other ministers are getting together. We're going to retreat for about 3 days at Oak Island. We're in the process of putting it all together. And we're asking God to help America come back to the church and to God. First and foremost, to God. You see, whether we realize it or not, we've become a spoiled generation. We've got more luxury than we've ever had in our lifetime. Amen. I was thankful when it hit 110, 112 degree heat index that I had air conditioning. I remember growing up without air. You had a couple fans in the house and windows were open, and you welcomed all the flies in the neighborhood if there were any. I remember those days. People say, are air conditioners a necessity? They are to me. The older I get, the more I need it. Amen. How many of you can relate to that? We look at automobiles, and people say, well, are they really a necessity or are they a luxury? I guarantee you, you ask that person walking or taking the bus, they'd tell you they would be a necessity. But people are having to learn to do without things that you and I have taken for granted. I know of homes, and I've heard people say this, and especially among our seniors that are on fixed income. And I walk into their houses to visit and about die. Be 75 and 80 degrees because they can't pay the light bill. And I'm thinking, man, what's going on? I watch them as they'll say, Pastor, would you like something to drink? And they go in and they open the refrigerator and you know, you can't help but look inside and see many of them almost empty. And people ask me, why do we have a food pantry? That's the reason why. And I begin to think about all these things, and I begin to think about food and water, and they're things that you and I take for granted. My wife goes, you know, she's on this water kick, and don't y'all tell her, but she'll buy it by the case, and we drink water from the store when it comes out of the tap. I ain't figured that out yet. And people say, well, you know, we don't know what our water system's like. Fair Bluff scare you to death. They never met the requirements to be cancer-free in their water. Never have in 100 years. Never will, I imagine, the way things are there. What are you saying, Pastor? The Word says that we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Notice what I said, hungry yet full. We're living in a day, and we're living in an hour. The man is full, but spiritually he's hungry. Most of us never miss a meal. Most of us have plenty of food in our pantries for the most part, and we don't really know what hunger is. I thought this week, as in fasting with some friends of mine, I didn't even miss it. That blew me away, Brother Kessler. I got involved in doing some things, and next thing I know, a day had passed by, and I was like, praise God, thank you, Lord. But there's something that we need to see today. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, so that they could go hungry later on, so that they could be empty later on. No, what did he say? So that they could be what?
Filled.
We need an old-fashioned refilling in the church of God. I love this church. I love the organization. I appreciate all they've done for me over the last 40 years of ministry and serving God. But I want to tell you something. There's more to what we're getting than what we have. Amen. We need to understand today God loves us and God enjoys coming down into our midst. He enjoys seeing us worship. He enjoys seeing us touched by the hand of God. And God is saying to us, we need to understand we have a spiritual necessity. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to hunger for the goodness of God. We need to hunger for being upright and being and doing right in our lives. And we need to pray and hunger for holiness again in the church. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. I believe in holiness. That doesn't mean I have to have my wife's hair up to here, okay? That doesn't mean she doesn't. My wife wears a little bit of makeup. Get over it. Amen. She wears a little bit of jewelry, you know. Get over it. That doesn't make you holy. What makes you holy is having a right relationship with God. A heart relationship with God. I'm sick and tired of what we see on the media. These Johnny-come-latelys, my dad calls them, that think they have all the answers to Pentecost. I've got an answer for you for Pentecost. Hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. Somebody said, well, God just doesn't do what he used to do. Yes, he does. If you hunger and you thirst. Amen? We need to understand that. How many of you go to the doctor? Yeah, every one of you. You know what a doctor amazes me? Never fails, Brother Jerry. He'll tell me, now, you need to watch what you eat. I've lost 22 pounds now. It's a good feeling, that, you know? And he'll say, you need to eat this, you know, being a diabetic, they'll tell you all this stuff to avoid. And I'm sitting there looking at a man that weighs 300 pounds. And finally, I'd had it up to here with this one doctor. And we were in the bluff, and I was sitting there, and he said, now, Marvin, I'm telling you, you got to lose weight. And I'm sitting there like this, and I said, really? Yeah, you got to lose some weight. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll lose weight when you lose weight. And he said, what you mean by that? I said, Doc, you've got me by 100 pounds. And you're telling me what I need to do. Why don't you practice what you preach? He said, you got a point there. Last time I saw him, he's lost about 100 pounds. He's doing good. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, the same principle applies to us. If we need to eat, but we need to eat the right things, we need to put it in the right proportions. And that's the same way with our spiritual life. We need to eat spiritually the right things. I get tickled at Brother Jimmy Jones, you know, when he preaches revival or camp meeting, wherever he goes. He's a name caller. He'll tell you who they are. And boy, he dropped some names big time this week. And a buddy of mine called and said, what you think about this and this and this? I said, hey, I'm in total agreement with it. What we need to do is watch those that are preaching another gospel. Let me tell you something. When you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, guess what? You're going to get in this word. You're going to pray more. You're going to read the word more. And guess what? You're going to fast more. Somebody said, oh, you got to watch that fasting. You're a diabetic. You know what? fasted 3 days this week, and I did just fine. Not three consecutive, but I spaced them out. And you know what? I did just fine. And God began to birth something in me, and He's been doing this for months now, that I don't know about you, like Hattie said, I don't want to show, okay? I'm believing in the theme of our conference that we're going to have, the group that I put together, is demonstration, not illustration. I don't have any props on stage. That's kind of cool. I don't need a snake to emphasize on the stage there's a python spirit at work in our midst. I don't need any kind of special props because, you see, I believe if we'll get close enough to God, the anointing of God can work through our words, through our spirit, through our demeanor, through everything we present in a way that will touch people's lives. Yes. Amen. Think about it. You know why we bring all these things on, trying to get your attention? I found out something. When Hattie started having her little thing over here, she was enjoying the Lord and the Holy Ghost getting on her, and I thought she was going to take off a dancing. I looked out at y'all, guess what? Every eye was focused on her. There wasn't nobody, Brother Jerry, there wasn't nobody looking down. There wasn't nobody looking around. Every eye was focused on her. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. You want to get people's attention, let the Holy Ghost move in your life. Somebody said, I've never won a soul to the Lord. Guess what? You're not letting them see the man that's on the inside. You need to let the Holy Ghost reign supreme and do that and have that hunger. You know what's wrong? We've been blessed too long with too much. We've got it made. We don't need God anymore. You act like God's a helpline. You've seen those helplines. You know, what is it we dial here when we have an emergency? What do we do? 911. You think God's a 911 number? The only time you talk to Him is when you're in the midst of a crisis. Amen. The only time you talk to Him is when your daughter or son calls you and says, Dad, Mom, I've got a problem. Can you talk to God for me? I want to tell you something. We need to get to the place that we hunger, that we hunger, that we hunger for a move of God in not just our lives, but in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you hunger and you thirst, you know that. Amen? We've seen examples of hunger in our world. You can go to Africa, go to other parts of the world and see tremendous hunger. But I'll give you a little secret. You don't have to go to Africa to see hunger. I can take you to the foothills of West Virginia, and I'll show you little children that their teeth have fallen out because they don't have proper nourishment. I'll see you, show you children that don't have anything. And in a land of plenty, Sue, that's an indictment to us. Right here in America, kids go hungry every night that we live. And the sad thing is, not just kids now. Adults and senior adults are doing it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. We need to hunger. As they hunger physically, we need to hunger spiritually that we can get filled. But it's got to be something inside of you. I call it a consuming passion. You've got to have a passion to enter into the most intimate place you can with God. I don't know about you. I've had God anoint me for various things over the years. And various seasons. I believe a lot of times anointings come in seasons in our life. And one of the things that I'm feeling is that God's calling our church to step to the forefront. I realize we probably have about 40 of our regulars out this morning. That's okay. I'm not worried about one day. But what I want to say is this. You've got to have a compassion and a passion to get intimate with God. How many of you remember when you were dating? Can you remember back that far? I was thinking about that the other day. When Sister Gwen and I were dating, she was just fun to be around. And guess what? She's still fun to be around. I scared some of you, didn't I? She's still fun to be around. She's my best friend. I have a passion to keep that going in our lives. I don't want that to ever get old. She called me, I'll bet you, 20 times yesterday. And I was in the midst of fixing up a room and trying to surprise her before she got home. And finally I said, "Woman, what's happened in the last 15 minutes since you called?" "Nothing, I just wanted to hear your voice." And I'm down on the floor trying to paint a shoe molding. Anybody ever do that? That's not fun. And I found out the older I get, I don't do it on my knees. I lay down on the ground and do that thing. And I'm trying to paint and talk on the phone at the same time. She said, "What you doing?" I said, "Nothing." See, it's a surprise for her. And she said, "Well, your mom said you're doing something, but that's none of your business till you get home." You know, I said, "Don't spoil the moment." She said, "You're working on something, aren't you?" I said, "Just chill. You'll see when you get home." And, you know, women, that's just what they are. And so then, no more than I hang up, and I'm thinking, man, about 10 more minutes, I'll be done. Who should call again? I said, "Do you miss me that bad?" She said, "Maybe." I said, "Good. I'll see you Thursday. I'll be at the airport on time waiting for you." Amen. Josh said, "Me and the kids are going." "No, you ain't. It's just me and Mama. I'm going to take her out to eat. Come home. No youngins. You ain't watching, babysitting nobody. Grand youngins can stay with their parents." Amen. What is that called? It's called compassion and passion. You see, God wants us to feel that way about Him. How many of you ever call God every 10 minutes? How many of you ever call Him every 12 hours? Or 24 hours? Or 36 hours? Or a week? Some of you might not have prayed since last Sunday, unless you came on Wednesday night. What do you see? Can you see it? What I'm saying here? You've got to have a passion for the Lord. You've got to love Him. You know, when I came to church this morning, I had, seemed like 1,000 phone calls. But when I was getting ready, I'm like, I just can't wait, Brother Todd, to get to God's house. I'm ready to go and listen to the choir. And you notice the choir sang, I thought they were going to sing my message there for a while. You know, and everything just worked together. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that's the way it is when you have the right hunger, the right thirst, and the right passion. Now try this, guys. Take your wife out to lunch today. Don't let her cook. Of course, knowing most of your wives, they didn't cook anyway. But take them out to eat someplace nice. Tell them they can order anything they want on the menu. Chances are they're going to anyway. But just give that thought there. Present that thought. "Baby, I love you, and because I love you, I want you to order anything you want, and we'll even get dessert if you'd like." What is that? That's passion. That's compassion. And so God is saying to us, why can't you do that with me? Why can't you get up in the morning and say, "Okay, God, this is your day you've created. And God, I just want it to be a day that glorifies you." Every day this week that I've gotten up, I've asked God to help me. As I say the Lord's Prayer and I go into detail about these 126 names, with fasting and prayer, I've asked God not to save half of them, not to save a third of them. I've asked God to save every single one of them. Now, preacher, you know that's impossible. Luke 1 and 37 says, "And with God nothing shall be impossible." Amen. If you really believe it, God can save every last one of them. And when He does that, guess what? We can go to two services on Sunday morning. Somebody said, "Boy, I wish you'd go to two services so I can get early church." Yeah, so you can get at the beach before noon and the crowd gets there. Ain't going to happen. Amen. But think about it. 126 names. Some of them are your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your best friend. Can you pray over it every day for the next year? I guarantee you, God's working on some of them right now, Brother Jerry. I believe that God's working on Ronnie Graham. I believe some other friends of his that are on here, God's working on them. What are you saying, Pastor? Have you not read the news lately? People are getting scared. And you know what? History has proven out that when man gets scared, he runs to God. 2 years ago, I told you, God's going to bring us to our knees. And guess what? In the process, man will come back to the church and come back to God in a proportion that you and I can get excited about. But we've got to hunger and we've got to thirst and be intimate about that. He said, hunger after righteousness. I want to ask you a question. It's good to hunger for the lost to be saved. But how long has it been since you've cried out to God, God, make me holy. God, my righteousness according to the word is as filthy rags. But God, I'm asking you, through your power and your love and your transformation grace, can you make me righteous and holy and upright and intimate with you? That when you say something, people can take it to the bank. I remember moving to North Carolina in 1976. My father-in-law was a very influential businessman, and my wife and I were trying to get out of debt. And he said, I'll take you down to the bank. You make good enough money. He said, I'll take you down to the bank. We'll borrow $3,000. You pay that off in 90 days, get another $3,000. Did that for 9 months, got debt free. But you know the amazing thing about it was when we walked in, they greeted him. They knew him by name. And when he said, this is my son-in-law, he needs $3,000, give it to him. All I had to do back then was shake that man's hand and sign my name on the dotted line. Walked out the door. You go borrow $3,000 today, you're going to sign a stack of papers about that thick. It's unreal. Why? Because people no longer trust humanity. I want people to know that when you're a child of God, they can trust you. I want them to know that when you say you're a Christian, that they know you treat your spouse right. Amen. There are a lot of people today that treat their spouses like a doormat. Not mine. She's special to me. I want to tell you something. If you're a Christian and you're a man, you ought to respect and revere that precious gift God gave you in a woman. Amen. Now, women, if you've got a man and he loves God, you need to love him and respect him. And y'all can make it work. Why? Because that's what God said we're to do. If you're saved, you don't have to hunger after salvation now. If you're saved, you have to hunger after righteousness. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of the label. Oh, God, help me to say this right. Some of you might take this wrong. I'm tired of hearing the word Christian the way it's being used today. There are a lot of Christians out there ain't got a clue what being a Christian's about. Amen. I talked to a friend yesterday and asked him, are you going to church? Well, yeah. He hedged. He lied. I said, where are you going to church? Well, I go over to the Valley some, and I go over to PC3 some, and, you know, just kind of chill. Where's the hunger in that? Where's the thirsting in that? I was asked at camp meeting, got a call. Hadn't been home long. Saw somebody I hadn't seen in years. He said, Brother Marvin. I said, yeah. This is so-and-so. It was good to see you tonight. I said, good to see you. He said, can I ask y'all a question? He said, you white folk. I'm thinking, man, I got Indians in my church. I have black people in my church. I have Hispanics in my church when they're all here. And you asking me about a white church? Don't have a clue. I said, what is it? We laughed. He said, do y'all still have Sunday night service? I said, yeah. He said, well, in our church, they're talking about wanting to do away with it. I said, don't let them do it. He said, how many do you have on Sunday night? I said, about a third of what we have on Sunday mornings. That's a good number. And he said, well, I remember the day when we used to have as many on Sunday night as we did Sunday morning. I said, strange you should say that. I remember the day as well, Brother Mike, don't you? I remember this church running sometimes more on Sunday night when I was here the first time. Don't you remember that, Sue? We'd have more on Sunday night than we did Sunday morning. And somebody said, what's the problem? Do we not have the right method? Do we not have the right this or that? Let me tell you something. We don't have the right hunger. We don't have the right thirsting. We don't have the right compassion to come to the house of God twice in one day. As long as I'm your pastor and you don't run me out of town, we will have church on Sunday nights, except those special days we don't. But we will have church on Sunday night. You say, preacher, you better watch those words. You might have to eat them. How can I eat them? Jason, you remember when we started 8 years ago? We'd have 14 on a Sunday night if we were lucky. Or 10, or 5, or 6. It wasn't very many. But guess what? We came to church. Kind of hard to cancel church on Sunday night when we only run 40. When we, you know, people say, well, you know, that's not very many on a Sunday night. I remember when it was a third of that. What are you saying, Pastor? How can you justify? Somebody said, well, surely y'all don't have Wednesday nights, do you? Oh, yes, we do. I enjoy our Wednesday night Bible study. Hey, amen. We might not have the biggest crowd, but guess what? We come, we interact, we have a good time. And now the kids are miming in the back, and Tacoma and Sonia are working with them, and they're having a good time. Reddit helps them out, and all this stuff. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. There's a hunger, and there's a thirsting, and there's a compassion, but it's only by a faithful few. Whew. We let God help me. We find every excuse we can to miss church. Y'all still love me? I'm telling you the truth. Somebody said, you're preaching kind of hard. Let me tell you, my job's not to tickle your ears. My job is to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Think about it. Some of you ain't going to be here tonight. How do you know? Now, we have some that are caregivers, the sisters. I know they have a brother they have to take care of, and they can't get out. I understand that. But some of you stay home to watch football tonight. Some of you stay home to watch the race tonight. Is there one on today, John? That was last night. Okay. Anyway, race gets you off today. Or a baseball game or whatever. Or you're just plain stinking lazy. Preacher, I work hard all week. That's my day to chill. He said, remember the Sabbath day and make it holy. Do you not think you can come to church and get refreshed and take on the world tomorrow? That's how I keep going. It's my Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. You know, I get to the midweek, Brother Jerry, I need that little boost and coming to church and praying and worshiping God and studying the Word together. Guess what? It gives me that oomph to keep going. Let me ask you this. How many of you think you're healthy today? Raise your hand. Physically healthy. You believe you're physically? I like that, Jerry. I like that. Okay. Old Marine, ex-Marine over there. He, never mind. You still fit in your uniform, though. I was proud of you. Y'all are physically healthy. Well, let me ask you this. Are you spiritually healthy? Are you eating the right things? Preacher, what do you mean? If you're spiritually healthy, you're going to get in that book. You're going to listen to that word speak to your heart. You're going to pray. You're going to talk to God. You're going to fast some. And can I tell you something else? Your radio station or your CD player will play something besides, let's see, how's that go? Never seen such. Anyway, never mind. That shows you I don't listen to country much. Big green tractor, truck, whatever. You know, Sonia, he's pointing at you. Amen. Never seen a truck that high. Who cares? I'd rather hear something like we heard last week. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, they blessed my soul. They were good. All the way from Nashville, Tennessee, came and ministered here. We had church. And I bought one of their CDs, and man, I was doing some work around the house, threw that thing in, I turned it up. If you would have come to my house the other day, you'd have thought I was deaf. If you listened to Sister Gwen, you would definitely believe that. But I was having church. But I get in some people's rides, and it's all about the big green tractor or the big ugly truck that you can't hardly get in, or you lost your wife, your dog, and everything else, your job, and you're worried about this, or we're doing the funky thing, you know. I mean, what you ought to do is the Holy Ghost shuffle. Yes. Amen. You ought to get so in tune with God, you don't want nothing going in these ears but praises unto the Lord. Amen. I got in somebody's vehicle the other day. They let me drive it. Said, don't wreck it. I ain't going to wreck it. I'm just going to drive it and run some errands. I couldn't find one preset on a Christian channel. I fixed them, though. I looked up. I hit scan. I put in at least three gospel channels. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, that's me. No, it ain't. It's because I love them. You need the right programming. That's why we don't hunger. That's why we don't thirst. That's why we don't have the compassion of Christ anymore. We've got more junk in our head than we need. We need the right kind of programming. Amen. You got a daily walk with God. He said in Philippians 3 and 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I've heard people say, I've arrived in the Lord. I've got all of God I need. If that's the case, you're sick. I've been serving him 40 years, getting ready to be 41 years in January. And you know what? I haven't got all of God I need. Brother Jerry, I crave more of him every day. Every night Jerry went to camp meeting. I said, God, let him get the Holy Ghost tonight. Let something happen, let him get the Holy Ghost tonight. And it was like God was saying, I done told you how he's going to get it. Just watch and see. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch and see. Everything, had him make him sing specials, because I believe one of these days he's going to sing a special and he's going to just, it's going to hit him, you know. But what we need to understand is we've got to keep on keeping on. We're never going to get to a point, and I finally have learned this, and I hope you will. We're never going to get to a point that we can stop seeking. We're never going to get to a point that we can quit asking, seeking, or knocking. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to ever get to that point. I want to keep on asking. I want to keep on seeking him. And I want to keep on knocking at his heart's door. Does that make sense? What will that do? That will give me longevity. I'm having to deal with some things with my dad and my mom both being very sick right now. And it's hard watching somebody go from here physically to here. That's hard. My dad soon will be 79 years old. Mom will be 77, just turned 77. But you know what? That's nothing in some places. In Ecuador, I read a story the other day where they have the largest population of anywhere in the world of people living to be over 100. Matter of fact, they had three that are over 120 years of age. Some of you want a plane ticket to Ecuador right now, right? Other places where people are, and we're seeing it more and more, people living to be 100. John and them were at a birthday party yesterday, Tacoma's grandmother, and I know that's where a lot of them are today. But she turned 90 years of age. Still goes to church. Still loves God. God's just as real to her. And what is that? That's a benefit from serving God. Think about this. The Bible says if we honor our parents and we love them and we care for them, our days on this earth are going to be long. That's a promise of God. I love my mom. I love my dad. I spent most of the afternoon up there getting his boat ready so that he can put it on Craigslist and sell it this week. You know, going to sell his truck, you know, and all those things just because he can't do those things anymore. But I thought about it, you know, and I drove away and that was hard to deal with. But you know what? They still have the victory. My mom says, tell the church to pray. I'll get better. I'll be back in church. Dad said the same thing. I said, that's cool. We can do that. We'll pray. Marilyn Boone said today, she said, Brother Glenn, I've got to come home. I'm exhausted. They've been in Charlotte for a week with her brother. And she said, I need some refreshing time. You know what? That's what we all need. And you know what the greatest times of refreshing to me are? It's when we hunger, we thirst, and we get the compassion of God in our hearts, and we get intimate with Him. We get refreshed. Why are so many people backsliding today? Why are so many people going through the motions, as Hattie talked about a little while ago? They miss that refreshing. They miss that intimacy with God. You see, God demands discipleship. He demands that we hunger. And He said that we'll be filled. It's needed today in the church of God as never before. I don't know about you. I feel, you ever hear somebody say, something happens and a flag goes up? Well, I felt for the last couple of years some flags going up. Because there's not that hunger. There's not that thirsting. And there's not that desire to be intimate with God. Some of you are going through the motions. You come to church. Some of you never miss a Sunday morning, very rarely. But guess what? You're playing church. The Word says, and I like this part, if we hunger and we thirst, we shall be filled. Think about that. In just a few minutes, I'm going to dismiss you, and we'll all go our separate ways, and we'll all go eat. But you know what you're going to do? How many of you are going to eat buffet today? I'll forgive y'all. Y'all ain't telling the truth. Ain't nobody going to eat buffet today? Man, there was a day in the church of God I'd ask that question in revival. Everybody's hand went up. Buffets are bad for you. Because not only do you eat till you're full, you eat till you're miserable. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But did you ever notice, Brother Jerry and I think we got one good place that we like to eat in common, and that's Texas Roadhouse. One thing I like about Texas Roadhouse, they give you just the right portion that when I leave, I'm full and don't want nothing else, and I don't feel miserable. So I feel I get enough for my money. I like that. It's good food besides. But what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. He said, if you'll hunger, if you thirst, if you'll have that passion again in your life, you shall be filled. Ha. Filled. Just right filled. Isn't that a good feeling? How many of you can relate to what I'm saying? Very simple. So what is he saying? Hunger. Thirst, be compassionate about what you feel and believe in your love for God, and God will fill you just right. I've actually prayed this prayer. God, I like being filled, but what I need you to do is fill me to overflowing. Remember we used to pray that prayer, Hattie? God, fill me to overflowing. Why? So it spills over on Robert. Spills over on Robert. Spills over on Robert. Spills over on Harold. You see, if you get it overflowing, it just moves. It just moves. What are you saying? Let's get back to being God's church. I'm not saying we're backslid by any means. We know what it is to have good services, and we know what it is to have church. But I'm asking God, this is my prayer as your pastor. God, I want us to have a move of you in our midst. That no sinner, not one solitary one, can walk out those doors without knowing Jesus Christ. You see, 126 names, if they start visiting us as the convicting agent of the Holy Ghost moves in their lives, Brother Todd, we need something here that will change them. That something or someone is the Holy Ghost. He's the convicting agent of the Godhead. He's the one that can get to them. Last Sunday, I saw people holding on to the pews till their knuckles turned pure white, fighting off that conviction. Thank God, He's still here. Would you stand with me as musicians come? I want to challenge you today as your pastor. There's a lot going on in America. And America needs to see a true church, a true body of believers. My cousin wrote me, he's a major in the Army, stationed in Georgia right now. And he said, Marvin, he said, I'm concerned. I have another cousin. I have two second cousins that are just into the military. Two are in Afghanistan, one in Iraq. He said, you've seen the news where the pastor is talking about burning the Quran on Saturday. I said, yes, I have. He said, I'm afraid if he does that, that's going to unleash a tremendous holy war against the church and against the military. He said, will you join me in prayer and ask God to change his mind? I said, sure. I said, but Robbie, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe he'll ever go through with it. He said, why? I said, well, I said, I watched him the other day and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I said, if you'd have checked your email, you'd have saw my response already. I said, all he is a man wanting 10 minutes of fame. Once he gets that 10 minutes of fame, it'll be over with. He'll cancel it. And sure enough, after he got all the media attention he wanted, everybody knows where that little church is now, he canceled it. I believe he's going to stand before God for that. Because he put a lot of fear in a lot of people's hearts. He caused a lot of confusion. My Bible tells me God's not the author of confusion. Amen? And there are more ways to win a person from Islam. First and foremost, hunger, thirst, compassion, seeking God. That you be that advocate, that ambassador of Christianity, that you can win them. I told my cousin, I said, I have a training center right across the street. I'm concerned. But you know what? It's God's building, and we're God's people. It's up to God to take care of us. Ain't lost a minute of sleep. But here's the challenge before you today. I want to ask you a question. Are you truly hungry for God? Are you truly seeking God's face and God's direction? Are you asking Him to fill you? Think about it. This is the invitation this morning. This is how I want to do it. I'm going to ask every person that's a Christian and feels comfortable to come and stand with me in the altar. And I want us to ask God to rebirth the conviction in our hearts that we will hunger and that we will thirst after righteousness again, and that we will seek the very face of God if it possible. Would you come and stand with me today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you as a united effort this morning for you to join hands if you feel comfortable in. I want us to ask God, like I say, this is my prayer. God, I'm hungering for you. I'm hungry for a move of you in my life. I'm thirsty, God, and I want you to feel that. I'm going to diligently seek you, Lord, until that's accomplished. Just talk to Him in your own way today. God, we've united today. We've come to this altar as a united force. God, we've joined hands in